This sky is so starless. Baby, the sky is so starless. Baby, you got me growing heartless. So heartless, girl, it's starless. Starless, yeah, yeah. All right, y'all, what's up? What's up, man? Welcome to the Red Light Special, episode 12. I am Rob Markman, and to my right is Kristen Coro. Kristen, what's up?
What's up?
12 episodes, man. Like, we here. I ain't know he's going to make it 12 weeks. I say that every week, man, but I'm seriously surprised that we're on the air every week. This is crazy. I'm waiting for them to pull the plug, like, or for somebody to pinch you and that the dream stops.
It's okay. We pack it up and take it somewhere else.
There's nowhere to go. It's LSN over everything, man.
No. That's
the network. Where else you going to go? Even though SoundCloud acting like, you know what? We just going to chill.
Listen.
Shout out to Jake and Papa for our intro for our theme song, Starless, man. Jake and Pop, what up, man? I appreciate y'all to no end. And shout out to the homies over at This Is R&B, Jamie, for posting us every week. And
it's Biscuit. Love.
Always showing love, man. Appreciate y'all. Chris, what's going on? Like, how was it since the last time I saw you?
It's been good. You know what? It's been relaxing for me. It's been a crazy couple of weeks, but I actually took a couple days out this weekend to just, you know, take some time for myself. I've been doing the acting class, and that's really been taking up a lot of my time in a good way. So I went up to a lake in Westchester, I believe. Okay. I don't even know where I went this weekend, but okay. I went to a lake. Yeah, it was really fun. It was relaxing, and you know, spend some time with family, and jumping right back into the whole acting thing this week. So,
right, okay, that's what's up. I didn't take any time off. Let me see. I saw Straight Outta Compton twice.
Twice.
Yeah. I saw it twice. Amazing movie, man. I love it. I might go see it a third time. I
haven't seen it yet.
It was great. I loved it. On Saturday, I hung out with my friend Andy Mineo. He came to Staten Island. Really, really dope rapper. He had this amazing listening session where he brought his fans to an indoor skate park in Staten Island, and then surprised everybody and started a Nerf gun fight.
That's
a
different.
Nerf gun war. Yeah, it was crazy. So like all his fans are like, and we're shooting and ducking and running for cover. So shout out to Andy. That was like the most creative album listening I've ever been to.
I feel like listenings are getting a little bit more creative by the day. I mean, some, not so many, but I think people are kind of going the more creative approach on things nowadays, which I love. That's awesome. I mean, a Nerf gun fight, skateboarding, amazing, and all that, that's like
amazing. Yeah, you gotta get more creative. On Sunday I was over at a barbecue celebrating my man Chevy Woods. You know, I'm Taylor Gang for life. So Chev had a listener at Community 54. DJ Bonix, DJ the Hood Chef, was on the grill.
But how was the food?
The food was dope. I had to run 6 miles after that. But the food was dope. You know, we had a good time. And then on Monday, I started a new job.
You can't just start at Saturday and then go into Sunday.
And then Monday.
And not mention what happened on Friday.
What was Friday? Friday I saw Straight Outta Compton.
No. Listen, you got to talk about, you almost broke the internet on Friday. I think you're okay, blanking out a little bit here.
I forgot about that. Yeah, so on Friday.
But talk about Friday, because, I mean, it was just an insane day that I was so happy to be, you know, to just witness and see what was going on. Talk about what happened on Friday and what led into Monday.
Yeah, on Friday, we announced that I'll be joining Genius, formerly Rap Genius, but Genius.com, as the artist relations manager. I no longer with MTV, sadly. I say MTV is always family and friends, so I leave MTV with a heavy heart, but I'm very excited about this new venture. So yeah, Billboard made the announcement, and then we went on Sway in the Morning and talked to the people, and it felt like every rapper was tweeting about it, which was amazing. So shout to Pusha T, Show So Much Love, DJ Khaled, I Don't Want to Forget Anybody, Mac Miller. 2 Chainz showed a lot of love. Like, everybody was supportive. Meek Mill, who I felt like hasn't tweeted since, you know, the whole incident thing with him and Drake, hopped on Twitter and was like, oh, congratulations to Rob Markman. So I'm super humbled by that. And on Monday was my first day starting at Genius. I felt like a kid, like the first day in school, man. So shout out to the whole Genius team, Tom, Milan, Liz, Matt, you know, it's too many to name, man, but everybody's been showing mad love. So I'm excited about, you know, what I'm about to bring.
And I want to congratulate you because, you know, we've been friends for a while, but I feel like you still yet never fail to amaze me in what you do. You know, everything that you do, you put your heart and your soul into, and you've really set yourself apart from every other journalist that's in this game. And not even just journalists. I mean, anybody doing anything in this industry, I feel like you're kind of paving that way. And you're branching out and you're, you know, growing and expanding, and it just never stops for you. I feel like, you know, you just always have something to turn around and surprise us with. And I just want to, you know, I took down three things from the Sway interview and shout out to Sway. He is an amazing, amazing person that I'm glad to even have worked with, you know, with this podcast, our Apple event. But he said something really important to me. You know, us being friends, it really stood out to me. He said, "Why won't our peers celebrate our accomplishments?" Or was it you that said that?
Nah, Sway definitely said that.
Sway definitely said that.
I'm embarrassed right now, but yeah, Sway said that.
Why are you embarrassed?
I don't know. This is weird. All this praise.
Soak it in. Listen, you deserve it. You know what I mean? Right. You sit here and you interview people every day, and you put people, you know, that deserve it on a pedestal. I mean, you gotta, you know, sometimes take that in too. But, and he spoke about you to make it even a little bit more embarrassing for you. He said he's even helped build the careers of some of the folks that you view as the top journalists in the game. He's the one that's given them their fuel to become who they are. And I feel like you just have influenced and inspired so many people in this game. That interview, if you guys listening haven't seen it, go on YouTube, look it up, listen to it, share it.
Sway's Universe.
Take it
so
in.
Sway's Universe, Sway's YouTube channel. Yeah, nah, that was a great interview. Sway is a guy that I've always looked up to. And you know, I met him about 4 years ago. In that 4 years time, you know, we became friends and we were coworkers, and now we're brothers. So to get those words from somebody like Sway, like, meant a lot and means a lot. So, you know, I don't take that lightly. So, you know, I'm just going into my next venture, and everything I do, I just want to do it the best that I possibly can, including this Red Light Special podcast, my work at Genius, whether I was at XXL, MTV, wherever I was at, whoever I'm interviewing, like, you know, you give it your all. So that's where I'm at. But today I'm actually excited about what we got going on today, because we got a pair of guests. Our first guest today, I mean, this brother is part of the Loudspeakers Network family, part of the LSN family. Opened me, you know, welcome with open arms and had me on his podcast. He has his podcast called The Fan Bros with Chico and Tatiana. And, you know, I'm an undercover nerd. I don't know if the listeners know that. Like, I read comic books. Like, I'm a geek. I'm a fan, bro. You know what I mean? And when me and this brother, you know, got to speaking, we found out that we had similar interests, not just in comic book culture and fan bro culture, but also in music. So, I mean, for our first guest, man, I'd like to welcome DJ Ben Amin, what's up, man?
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, man.
Feels so weird.
Yeah, it feels different being on the other side, right?
How's it feel to be on the couch?
It's interesting. It's a nice couch. I've actually never sat on this couch. So, yeah, this is a nice little couch. It feels so weird when someone else is talking about you, you know, and saying things about you. And congratulations on the gig, man.
Thank you.
I shouted you out on Twitter, but yeah, you know, it's good to see you in person and shout you out.
Appreciate that, man. And this was a long time coming. You just being on the show. You had me on the Fan Bro.
I mean, you only had 12 episodes so far,
right,
bro.
Right. Like, it's not, nah, but it feels like, long. It feels like a long time coming, man. Well, how many episodes are you guys in?
Ooh, we just had our 200th a little while ago. But we do two episodes a week,
right?
So we're, you know, we have a bit of volume.
Is it a long time coming? Because I didn't think we were going to get past four episodes. I thought the four episodes were going to get the call from Chris Morrow, like, you know, guys.
I'm still waiting on that call for Chris Morrow. So, like, you know, you never know when it's going to happen.
Yeah, but and we'll get into Fan Bros, because I bet you a lot of our listeners here at the Red Light Special, if they're not up on Fan Bros, like, once you get up on Fan Bros, mm-hmm. like, you're really going to become a part of that as well. But one of the things that we connected on, the reason why you're on this show, I mean, you're a DJ.
Yes.
DJ Ben Amin.
Yes.
And
it's in the name.
On your website, mm-hmm. there's a lot of mixes. One in particular, the Cuffing Season mix. There's a part one, there's a part two.
Yep. And pretty soon, God willing and everything, there will be a part three sometime this cuffing season, like around October, November.
Right. You're going to have to, because cuffing season is fast approaching.
Yes, I know. So I'm working right now on it.
I feel like September people start getting worried. They're like, all right.
I think like right after Labor Day, mm-hmm. it's like, that's it. You know, cuffing season pretty much kicks off. It's like Christmas now. You know, Christmas keeps moving up. Now cuffing season, you know, mm-hmm. keeps moving up.
Yeah. And, you know, also I feel like we didn't have like a crazy hot summer. I feel like we had, we're in the middle of a heat wave now. We had one 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And it's been pretty chill the whole summer. And I even feel like the weather is going to make cuffing season a lot faster.
Much worse. Yeah. And it's probably going to be a cold ass winter too. So,
yeah. I mean, last winter was brutal. So,
yeah.
I mean, just tell y'all right now, Netflix and chill is over. Okay. Red Light Special and Chill is
there
the new way.
Nice.
Exactly.
Red Light Special and Chill. That's mm-hmm. how you do it. Somebody needs to make that meme for us. Red Light Special and Chill.
Nice.
I love you long time. Man, so man, tell us about first of all, your website. Plug your website.
DJBenAmin.com is where my music and everything is. I have a Mixcloud. You can get everything because, like we say, SoundCloud be tripping sometimes.
And what's up with Sound? Yep. Yo, Sound. Hold on, real quick.
Go ahead.
Yo, SoundCloud. Y'all acting like some real bitches right now. Okay.
Somebody put a sensor on Rob.
I saw Straight Outta Compton twice. Y'all acting like some real motherfucking pisses right now. You gonna make me run up in your office, spoiler alert, like Ice Cube did. But you know,
that was such a great scene. Yeah. Oh man.
But no. Okay, so you're on Mixcloud. Yeah, so sorry, I had to get that out.
And DJBenAmin.com and all my mixes are up there. And like you said, I have two. I mean, there's a bunch of joints up there, but I really was really glad that you appreciated them because the Cuffing Season are like my favorite joints that I've ever done. And they're like a collection of slow jams and they're all mixed together. And it tells, with movie clips and whatnot, it tells a seamless story from beginning to end. Like the movie clips help illustrate the songs and as it goes along. And it tells a story of a relationship, basically.
That's dope.
Thank you.
Super ill. And part three, what's your inspiration for part three?
I don't know, man, because they're never really, people always ask me if they're like influenced by my life, and they're not really, because they, you know, like people, like they might, the mix might have a breakup, you know, and things like that in it, and that's not what's going on with me, so I don't know. We'll see where the creative flow goes, but I'm not sure what the story is going to be for this one or any of that until it actually happens.
Right. And you, I love that you just don't, Cuffing Season is the R&B mix, and but Ben Amin is not trapped into just one.
Oh, no.
He's a DJ for real. He does this for
yeah,
real.
Yeah, no, I've been doing it since vinyl, since there was only vinyl. Mm. So, yeah,
I mean, you have EDM mixes, you have dancehall mixes.
Afrobeat.
Like hip hop mixes, obviously. One of my favorites, man. I was in the office. the New Jack Swag. Yeah. Yo, I'm such a big New Jack Swing guy. Like, I think Teddy Riley. Somebody needs to build Teddy Riley a statue somewhere. Like, son is so underrated.
One of the greatest ever.
Sway asked us. I don't know why Sway chose these two when we were at our Apple event. Sway was like, okay, because you know we started our first show was the debate, Boyz II Men versus Jodeci. So
wow.
Who do you pick?
That's like we have our Brap, you know, the Brap segment of Fambros. Wow. I'm going to have to go with Jodeci just because it's, you know. I mean,
Ben Amin!
Your Boyz II Men?
My guy, yeah.
Your Boyz II Men? Yeah.
All
right, but see, that first Boyz II Men album, Please Don't Go, like, come on. That's up there, but Feenin?
Baby. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Here comes the simping.
I'm sorry I lied. Yeah.
No, it's not even I'm sorry I lied. He's like, baby, I know you was out there with those other guys that might cheat on me. I knew about it. I just didn't care.
See, that was me in high school. Boyz II Men was me in high school.
You didn't care?
No, I was just simping. Look, you know, Please Don't Go was like my jam. Like, that was, you know, I was
that's
because
Rob is crazy, so he's all like, you know.
Later on, I got into like, you know, later on, I was like, you know, more of like, well, but see, Jodeci Sims too, Cry For You.
Yeah,
my man says it's been 7 hours,
but it's different.
Yeah,
it ain't even been time.
It's different.
And he's going nuts.
It's different. It ain't different.
No,
don't make no excuses.
I'm gonna tell you the difference. I'm gonna tell the boys to men shit.
I appreciate
Ben.
I mean, right now,
the boys to men. Listen. A woman is going to walk all over Boyz II Men because he said, baby, you was out there cheating with them other guys. I knew about it. I just didn't care.
They still get the panties.
So she's like, yeah, her and everybody else on the block. You see what I'm saying? That's the difference. The Boyz II Men sensitivity, the cry for you is I don't think it's 7 hours, right? It's been an hour.
It's not even an hour. It's not even seven. It's been an hour
since you've been gone, and that's too long.
No time.
That's crazy.
Yo, he's pressed.
Right.
That's crazy.
That is the difference.
Right.
That's not simping.
Pressed.
That's
super
that this
pressed.
Motherfucker is crazy.
Yeah.
And your ass should probably run.
Yeah.
It's a different type
no,
of.
No, I agree with you. Yeah, Jodeci
is
definitely.
And we know
definitely,
KC was a wild boy.
Oof.
Right. So.
Yeah, it was probably for the best that they left.
You know, but Jodeci,
listen,
come on.
You can't be too much of a pushover, and you can't be crazy. I don't
look,
like
look
crazy
look at the monologues,
guys,
so. Yo. Baby. No, this is the Jodeci one, baby. Or the chronic in the work.
Couldn't amount. Oh, wait.
Come on. No, but what's come he saying? Because I was listening to Stay the other day, and what's he say at the beginning of Stay? It's like, I'm sorry. He doesn't say, I'm sorry I lied. It's like, he's like, I'm sorry, you know, for telling you, but it's not that I'm sorry
yeah,
I lied. No, yeah, it's not. I lied. Don't, you know, don't
yeah,
get that twisted.
I'm just sorry I got caught. Jodeci,
yeah,
there,
that's what it is.
Like,
yeah.
You know, like, you know, every night I close my eyes, I wake up feeling so horny. That's real shit. Baby. He was singing my Boyz II Men girl. I know you was out there creeping with Jodeci. I knew about it. Just thinking.
Freaking You remix, you got to go with
right.
Jodeci.
You got so. Stacks like the international. Yeah, but
come
that,
on
that's
now.
Another. But... Okay, New Jack Swag.
About to go into a whole other
that whole tangent.
Yeah.
New Jack Swag. Yeah, Sway had asked us. He was like, because I guess he wanted to get in on the Versus thing. And mm-hmm. he was like, okay, guys, who do you think was a better producer? Jermaine Dupri, who was amazing, or Teddy Riley?
Wow.
And I'm just like,
what was that?
What? No. Look, I don't know
what just happened over there.
I love Jermaine Dupri, right? I love him. You know, I mean, the Brat that remix, one mm-hmm. for, you know, classic, you know, Money Anything.
Confessions, he did a lot of confessions.
Mariah Carey, We Belong Together, like,
yeah.
Jesus. But, come on, bro. Jermaine Dupri at the same time is also, like, and I'm sure he'll admit this, so this isn't, like, shade or whatever. He follows the trend.
Do you want to dance?
Yeah, like, okay, you know, Snoop Dogg's out here, here's the Brat. You know, Jodeci out here, here's Escape.
Ooh.
You know, Snoop Dogg, here's Chris Cross.
And that's kind of what we went over.
And Bow Wow. Yeah, and Teddy Riley is, you know, from what I've heard the story, and I don't know if this is true, he produced the show.
Yeah, Teddy Riley produced the show.
Fucking, you know, it's like, after that, like, what can anyone ever say to this man? Like, yeah, you know, no.
He had Teddy Riley has his own subgenre of music. New Jack Swing,
like, come on.
Is a product of Teddy Riley. And when you had Keith Sweat, you know, first with Guy, and then Keith Sweat
Guy,
is like, yo, I need that
sound.
Bobby Brown, who was the original, you know, what I think Usher, what Chris Brown,
everything.
Is kind
of
now, like,
King
Bobby
of
Brown
R&B.
Is the prototype of that. Like, Teddy Riley's stamp was all over that. Michael Jackson called him. Teddy Riley did like a number of joints off the Dangerous album.
Yes.
Jam, it ain't too much. And all
remember
that.
The time.
Like, he had Teddy Riley and Michael Jordan in the video, like, and Michael Jackson in the video.
I think Teddy just paved his own way, and it's a difference when you're, you know, you have like two people who are really good at something, but one of them is kind of like, okay, you're doing what everybody else is either doing, or you're kind of making it a better version of that, and then mm-hmm. you have somebody who's just making their own shit.
Yes.
And is going to pave the way for the next 10 artists, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's just different.
And Teddy Riley, listen, we ain't had Teddy Riley, we wouldn't have no Pharrell. The Neptunes, they came up from under
Timbaland.
Timbaland too.
Yeah.
Timmy.
We wouldn't have Drake, I mean, and all the sampling that he's doing of Teddy Riley right now. Like,
Drake's name comes up a lot now. Yeah.
Does it? Oh. Drake won.
don't stop.
Well, I don't know. Wait, wait, were you a Meek Mill? Were you on the writing and everything?
I'm just gonna say it again. I just feel like if you're a rapper,
you should write your own.
If you want to be in those top MC conversations, I would like for you to write your own lyrics, because you know those are Eminem, that's Jay-Z, that's Nas, that's you know.
Yeah. See, I take him out of the top MC conversation.
Yeah.
But you know, I put him in the great, you know, one of the great songwriters conversations. Mm-hmm. Like my man wrote for Alicia. Like,
oh, for sure.
One of my favorite songs.
That's such a great song. Unthinkable.
Yeah. Sooner than later. You know, by him off So Far Gone is just.
Sooner Than Later is actually in my top three Drake songs.
Because he can't do that and not say it.
I know you gotta say it. Like,
he gives you kind of everything.
I forgot to call you on your birthday. Yeah. Like,
oh.
Like,
and it's all about how you start the song.
Yeah, like, that best opening line.
Right. And that. But he sings. There's a bit of a spoken word part on it, and then there's a rap part. Like, if you was like, man, what does Drake do? You kind of have to play Sooner or Later, and was like, well, he does this.
I got another mix, speaking of that song, Anatomy of a Broken Heart, which is like a straight, it's a breakup mix, but it makes me laugh out loud every time I listen to it. So if you want to hear it, it's not like some old sad crying shit, you know, because like once again, it's got a lot of movie themes in it, and the movie themes are really towards comedy. But Sooner Than Later is on there because that when that year that came out, I played that song like 50 times straight, probably. Like,
Anatomy of a Broken Heart?
Yeah. Oh. I love it. It makes me laugh out loud.
My brother, you have another mix.
I got a few, right?
I like to call it the How Dare You mix.
Oh, God.
Beyonce versus,
I knew it!
Beyonce versus Rihanna.
I knew it!
What are you trying? You trying to start World War III out this month?
Yo, the comments on that one are like the greatest.
The Navy got you? The Navy versus the Beehive.
I think they posted it on Bossup, and the Bossup comments were just the greatest thing I ever saw. Like, I just used to go down and scroll through it and just sit there just laughing.
Now, you didn't mean for this to be like a versus thing. This was like back in the day, like, used to have, they used to do a lot of hip-hop mixes.
Yeah.
Like Cannabis versus Big Pun.
No, it wasn't like something where I was like trying to make one better than the other, you know, right. But you call it versus because then the Beehive and the Navy comes out, you know?
Yeah.
It's great.
But if you had to pick one.
Ooh.
So now we're saying between Beyonce.
And Rihanna.
And Rihanna.
And this will make me sound so bad, probably. But End of Time by Beyonce is like, when that joint comes on, dog, I will be screaming it at the top of my lungs. And Countdown also.
I want to see you flipping those locks while you sing it.
Yeah, all that. Like, oh, man, it's really bad. Yeah, so.
I'd love to see that.
And but then see, fuck, because Stay, I have like probably 15, 20 different remixes of that song like on my computer because I hunt them down obsessively. Like,
right.
I think that's one of the best written songs sung. When I saw Rihanna perform that live, I think it was the Grammys that one time, that's when I was like, wow, like, that's something. So, Houston, fuck it. Beyonce. Okay.
Houston, fuck it.
Third Ward, you know, represent Southeast.
Yes, yeah. Yes. I will also, choose Beyonce.
Yeah.
Beyonce over everything. But nah, shout out to Rihanna. I'm actually big.
I think Rihanna's at one of her best times right now, though. Everything she puts out is just great. Yeah,
all right, see, now y'all, this R&B, I've been wondering, like, I feel like Beyonce, like, you know, she said with the digital drop, that was just some mind-blowing, you know, next level
thing.
Was
she there when that digital dropped?
I was in Africa, I was in Ethiopia.
Did they hear it in Ethiopia?
2 days later, every girl came up to me in the club, play Drunken Love right now. So did she? Yes. 2 days later in Ethiopia, they were, forget it. So, but like you said, you think she's in a good space right now? Because I feel like everyone's waiting on this album, and it's like, when?
Right.
Yeah. See, I think that's what's going to determine, you know, how good of a space she's in. You know what I mean? Everybody's waiting on something. It's kind of like everybody's waiting for Frank Ocean to drop. But Frank Ocean is already Frank Ocean.
Yeah.
You know, Rihanna, she came from, you know, at first everybody questioned whether she could really sing or not. Mm-hmm. Her performances have definitely gained, you know, she's done a lot better in her performances lately. And now every song she's dropping, along with her image, I feel like everything, the Oprah interview she did, I mean, she has built herself to this, she's on a pedestal right now where it's like, okay, now you got to drop an album and it's got to be great.
Yes.
Like, you got to really gain the audience, yeah, like fully. Because mm-hmm. I feel like everybody wants to be on a grasp right now, but we're like holding on kind of. So it's like, you know.
Yeah.
It'll be cool when she drops it.
I mean, she has like the album that We Found Love on is like just stacked with hits. Like it's ridiculous.
Which one was We Found Love? Was that
That's Where Have You Been is on there. No, yeah. No, Talk to Talk's one after that, I think. Where Have You Been? What's the joint? The reggae joint that everyone won't say. Watch and Move.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, Watch and Learn. Watch and Learn.
Yeah, no, that's Talk That Talk.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, that my favorite Rihanna album is Talk That Talk. Because to me, that was like porn. It's like audio porn. Like, yo, that album is so dirty.
Yeah.
Yo.
Well, Rihanna is Rihanna, you know.
You the
That's
one.
What I love about
Where
her,
Where Have
though.
You Been? We Found Love.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that is. Yeah, no, that, yeah.
Birthday Cake, yeah. Cake. Like, that whole thing.
Album was, yeah.
Watch and Learn is an underrated
Watch
hit.
And Learn. Kind of song.
Like, DJs out there, you play that in the club, and
I feel like
girls,
your hips
girls,
just got to go once man. That song comes on. I don't know, man.
Listen.
So that's actually my favorite Rihanna album. Mm-hmm. The last one was cool, too. Unapologetic was cool. I always felt like she should do when she redid Jump, which is a remake of Genuine's Pony. I always wanted her to... I was like, she should reshoot Genuine's video shot for shot with that song, but from a female's perspective. But nobody ever listens to me. I must have tweeted that at her 20 times, just giving out free ideas. But Ben, I mean, yo, bro, you like a real DJ.
Yeah,
like, you're not one of these, you don't push buttons. Like,
no, nah. Like I said, I come from when it was just vinyl. And like I grew up on like, DJ Premier was definitely one of my biggest influences. And then as far as mixes and like party rocking, like Kid Capri, shout out Young Guru. I went to Howard with him, and that's like my brother and one of my biggest influences as far as DJing. And then as far as mixtapes, like I told you, Neil Armstrong.
Yeah.
And, you know, people who make a mix that's like a movie, you know, and really put thought into it and things like that. And, yeah, no, I like... killing shit. That's what I always tell people. I like to get on and kill shit.
Shout out to Young Guru, too. I was just excited when that Young Guru knew who I was.
He pays quite attention. Yeah.
I think I bumped into him in Orlando. Whenever the All-Star game was Orlando, we just came off of Hottest MCs, and he stopped me in the middle of the street. And was like, yeah.
That is the... I mean, I say this a million times, but that is the realest dude I know in the industry, like, all time.
Shout out to Young Guru. So yeah, you got these mixes, and then Groove Candy. I know you. Do you still do Groove Candy?
Groove Candy's on a hiatus right now. Shout out to Carly Hustle, but yeah, I'm the resident DJ for Groove Candy New York, which is a '90s party that was at SOB's earlier this year, and it was a lovely joint. But yeah, we're gonna come back, but just waiting on Carly right now.
Dope. All right, yeah, man. Shout out to Carly Hustle, man. That's the homie, and Groove Candy. Made it once, and I should have made it more. And I'm sorry, I say that with so much shame. But I would love it if you guys are back. I'm back there every month. Y'all are doing them once a month.
Mm-hmm.
I will
definitely
make it
check that
a point to be there because I had so much. The Rum Punch. The Rum Punch is...
It caused a lot of action.
Yeah.
There was a lot of calamities at the group cooking parties.
So shout out to Carly Hustleman. And Groove Candy. And then the Fan Bros podcast, which is on LSN along with us. I feel like we're a gang now. I feel like we're like a podcast.
Like
somebody called
army.
Us a militia.
A militia. I like that word. I like that one. Militia.
LSN over everything. LSN versus everybody.
Yes, basically.
Fan Bros, man. Talk a little bit about Fan Bros and what y'all doing that show.
Okay, Fan Bros is another podcast on Loudspeakers Network. It's me, Tatiana King Jones, and D. Chico Leo. And Fan Bros, basically, we call ourselves, or we are, the voice of the urban geek. And so we talk about anything relating to geek culture from an urban perspective, such as movies, TV, films, comics, video games, tech news. And since we're urban geeks, we also relate it to a lot of, you know, current events and political things and, you know, thoughts. Like, we last week we had Otto Asando on the show, and we broke down Hancock because I think that Hancock is a bullshit ass movie, basically. And if you go, it's a pretty long explanation for why, but you know, we talk about that, and we just, you know, talk about all kind of things. We've had people like Juno Diaz, Young Guru, DJ Maceo, DMC, Prodigy from Mobb Deep. Just all kind of different people, and we really like to have them come on and show, like, you know, when you come on, people might not know that you're a geek, so we, you know, bring that out of people.
Super geek.
Super geek. Yeah, Rob Rob definitely earned his Fan Bros card on the show. It was definitely for real. And we cover TV, all that too, Power, you know, all that good stuff.
Did you do the episode that talks about how fucking horrible Fantastic Four was?
Yeah. Oh, that came up. That came up last week too. I didn't even see it though. That's how, that's like the first comic book movie in a long time that I was like, nah, like, I will see it, but
shit-tay.
Yeah, but straight out of Compton, that was awesome.
Yeah, yeah. And those guys were like superheroes.
Yeah, definitely.
In their own way.
Now, especially Dre, is straight out of Compton. Shout out to Dre. I felt like the last scene. There's no spoiler alert because everybody knows what happens in real life.
Oh my god!
When he walks out on, it was such a Batman moment.
Yeah, it was so like, I mean, I love the movie. That was the one thing I felt like the ending. Like I felt like it was like a, you know, dude who like ran down the field, you know, caught the ball into the field and then tripped in the end zone. Like he might even score the touchdown, but then, you know, when he was celebrating, he, you know, slipped and fell. Like
I love how you guys just compared Dre to Batman it was and an NFL player all at the same time.
He looks like both of them about now.
It was a Batman scene at the end because he walks out. He leaves. You know, Dr. Dre, Chris used to be on Death Row with Suge Knight, and they were partners. And he leaves Suge Knight at the end of the movie, and Suge Knight said, "Hey, what you gonna call this company?" And Dr. Dre's walking out the room, and he looks over his shoulder. The sun is setting in front of him. He looks over his shoulder. He goes, "Aftermath."
They should have had, Mentos pop up right then. The fresh maker, you know?
Insane, man. Oh, man. I laugh and joke, man. It was really, really a great film, man. I might go see it a third time because I love hip hop. And
my cheeks hurt.
Yeah. So, it'll get better. And, you know, I'd love to see more movies. I'd love to see more of our stories being told.
Yeah.
I always said this. I felt bad on it, but somebody needed to do a Jodeci movie. I'm such a big Jodeci fan.
Yeah, we see.
I do a Jodeci movie. Like, Jodeci
movie,
we got drama.
Something at you right now.
Nah. You know how Jodeci met? Like, they had beef with each other. Like, they pulled out guns on each other when they first met because the Dalvin brothers, the Dalvin and, what was their last name? Dalvin. And,
yeah.
What was their last name? It was the Haley.
Haley brothers,
yeah. The Haley brothers is JoJo and Casey.
Yep.
And then Dalvin and Devontae were brothers.
JoJo. Yep.
And they had beef because they were like dating the same girl or something. And they started out like they pulled like gats out on each other. And then they just say, "Yo, let's just be a group." I feel like a Jodeci movie would have so much ups and downs. And
I mean, dog, but it's like that's the one thing. It's the same thing like with the NWA movie. It's like, who's gonna produce this? Like, you know, that's another one thing I say about the NWA
Andre
movie.
Harrell.
Like, you can tell Ice Cube and Dre produced the NWA movie because there's, you know, there's a little omissions.
Yeah.
And I'm sure KC don't want everything, you know. I'm sure Mary J. Blige don't want the Jodeci movie getting made anytime soon.
Yeah, listen, we need to see that.
You're just giving out all these free ideas, Rob.
For the culture. I said that on Twitter like in like 2009. I just forgot that I said it until we just talking about it now. I give out free ideas like regularly. It's just that people don't listen. Like, I give out a lot of free ideas. I don't know.
Yeah, it's a good thing.
They should listen. Catch up on it.
You know, listen, man. My track record good. I'm bad. Yeah, man. Nah, man, but I definitely want to have you on, you know, just to talk about, I mean, these cuffing season mixes and these mixes in general, man. I feel like, you know, when we talk about DJing, like, we just equate it to the club or we just equate it to something like dance music, EDM, or rap or hip-hop. But, you know, you can actually do some great R&B mixes, some great, like, and people, there's an audience there that wants to listen to it. Like, everything ain't turn up all the time, and I don't think a lot of DJs get that. They just go with what's popular, but Ben Ami's mixes are so creative, and again, just the way he tells the story and live with it, like, they're timeless in a way, you know?
Thank you, storytelling,
man. It's all about stories.
It feels like you said. It feels weird when people are complimenting you. So yeah, thank you.
Right. Yeah. What's next for you, man? Let the people know what's going on next.
Well, let's see. Fan Bros is always going on. We have a bunch of events coming up for New York Comic Con. We got some huge live events featuring like Jean Grey, Pharoah Monch, some other special guests. We're working on a documentary right now. I'm doing mixtapes, as always, parties, etc. I've been doing some stuff with DJ MoMA out in Harlem at Harlem Nights. And another, God willing, along with Covering Season this year, I hope to release my children's book. So,
hey.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
So. I got a children's book idea too. Don't give your idea away. I know your idea and my idea.
Now, my children's book's already done and written and illustrated. Shout out to Marcus Eileen. We're just waiting. Probably going to do a Kickstarter or Indiegogo to raise funds and from knowledge about it. So, yeah.
You might have to put me onto the children's book because I have a children's book idea, but it would need to time with Thanksgiving.
Mm.
And, it's too late to get that off the ground. So maybe if I start this year, next year, 2016, Rob Markman's Thanksgiving children's book.
Nice.
I got a nice Thanksgiving children's book out there.
Awesome.
But I'm not going to give that out for free.
No, don't do that.
All right, man. Yo, DJ Ben Amin, man, where can they catch you? I know you got the website, DJBenAmin.com.
Yep.
Where can they find you on Twitter?
At DJ Ben Amin, DJBenHamEen. On Instagram, on Twitter, my website, DJBenAmin.com, FanBros.com, and FanBros Show on Twitter and Instagram as well.
Okay.
Dope.
Cool, man.
Thank you.
All right, man. So stay tuned. Red Light Special. We got another special guest coming up for you.
Yeah.
When she was just a teenager, she earned her first platinum plaque as a singer in the group 3LW. You've seen her play Lil' Kim and Notorious, and now she's killing it as Tasha St. Patrick on Starz' hit series Power. She's an actress, a singer, a songwriter, and she's from East Orange, New Jersey, so you know she's the realest. Please welcome to the Red Light Special, Notori Norton.
Hey, what's up, what's up? Thank you for having me.
Thanks for coming.
No problem.
You don't know how excited I am right now.
Aww.
Okay? Power is my favorite show.
That's what's up.
Power, mm-hmm. You know, I don't watch, I'm not going to lie, I don't watch a lot of TV, but I watch Power and I watch The Walking Dead.
Okay. Those are like the hot ones.
I'm saying, though.
I mean, I have to say, I feel lucky to be a part of the cool crew.
I don't trust people that don't watch Power. I'm going to just say that.
Right. Are you serious? That is hilarious. I can't trust you. You're not watching
Power?
You
don't watch Power? You know
you're down with the wrong crew.
We can't talk right now.
I won't even talk to people who don't watch Power. But we just came off of the season two, the finale.
Yes, yes.
And
season two finale was crazy.
I want to say that y'all right now have the most, in an hour's time,
mm-hmm.
was the most what the fuck moments. Like, I was on the edge of my seat, like, what the fuck?
Yeah, it was a lot of that. People were, you know, putting memes, facial expressions. I'm a fan of my show, and I was even watching the season finale, like, wait, Tommy got the gun on Goat, what? And then Dre comes behind. I mean, it was just so many moments that I think the writers of Power did such an amazing job with, just making sure that we raised the stakes. Courtney Kemp Agbo is our showrunner. She writes the hell out of our show. And all of our writers, they just really push each character to the next level. So it's dope. I'm glad people enjoyed it.
You talked about facial expressions, and there was one, and I wish the listeners could see it, but the facial expression you gave when Ghost confronts Tasha about sleeping with Sean.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that was real. It was like, oh, I'm caught. Because, I mean, I came.
And you were heated.
Yeah. I thought I was in the powerful position, but then the tables kind of turned because, you know, he knows what's going down with me and my side piece, Sean. But, you know, it was a great scene. Actually, I love that scene. I like a lot of the scenes with Omari Hardwick, who plays Ghost, because he's such an amazing actor. He gives so much intensity in those scenes. So it was fun just to be able to go in the finale, but through the whole season, really. We had some good stuff.
You know, I interviewed Omari for MTV. Mm-hmm. When I used to work there, and I realized what a great actor he was,
because mm-hmm.
I wasn't intimidated when I interviewed. Like, I didn't
cool
feel like
guy.
He might kill me. I was like, oh, nah, this dude is just cool. He was like, hey, man, nice to meet you.
I
was like,
I mean, he's like so he's so diverse and versatile. He's a poet. He played football. He's, you know, he's got his own foundation with kids and poetry. I mean, he does so much. And to go every week and play Ghost. People are so amazed at how different our characters. I am nothing like Tasha. Omar is nothing like Ghost. Joseph Shakur is nothing like Tommy. Lila Loren is nothing like Angela.
She's not having an affair out there, so stop punching her.
I know. Don't be mad. You know, we're actors. People get a little too crazy.
You know what I thought was going to happen, and normally I wouldn't give a spoiler alert, but it's Wednesday. If you ain't see the season 2 finale,
hurry up.
That's your life.
We can't talk.
Get your life. Get it.
I ain't gonna lie, I thought the scene, there was a scene in the season 2 finale where Angie's in the basement, I think, taking out the trash, and Greg Knox, her partner, oof, comes in the elevator.
Oof, he looks a good so creepy in that scene.
I thought when the elevator door opened, I thought it was going to be Tasha. I'm like, oh, Tasha's just going to clap her. I feel like there might be an alternate script somewhere where Tasha just takes Angie out.
Do you know how many people come up to me and they're like, girl, I'm waiting for you to kill Angela. Just kill her.
I'm surprised you didn't when you saw her at,
you know,
when you got arrested.
I killed her with my eyes. Mm-hmm. I mean, my eyes were saying, you know, you better run before I get across this thing. You're lucky the police is here.
Yeah.
But I definitely feel like a lot of the fans, you know, they want us to have a moment. And I think we will. You know, Courtney, the showrunner, talks about how we have to take the high road. Tasha is not, you know, just some random hood, unsophisticated woman. She's smart. She's strategic. She's going to approach Angela, but we're not going to have the pulling her weave Tyler Perry version. We're going to have the stars quality good stuff version.
I feel like you guys are going to take Ghost down. I don't know.
Wouldn't that be interesting?
You're going to take
us
the kids and run.
Us women come together.
Except Sean's not in the picture anymore. But
You know, I interviewed 50 about it, and he said that some of the input that he gave to Courtney, you know, some of the shows have been like snapshots of his real life.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a key episode in season 1 where Ghost gets pulled over and Tasha takes the gun. For him, and 50 said that was
really
actually
happened
with him and his baby's mother.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, his baby's mother didn't end up being his Tasha, because Tasha really helped Ghost build this thing up together.
Yeah, but some of that is based in his real life. A lot of power, which is why it's cool having a producer as 50 Cent, somebody who's really lived a lot of what we show on the show. You know, we're based in New York City. This is about a guy living a double life. You know, he's a drug dealer, but he wants to go legit. Look at how 50 has been able to become a huge mogul, a businessman, not just a hip hop artist, but in so many areas. And that's kind of who Ghost is, trying to reinvent himself. And I think we use a lot of, you know, the situation where, you know, the gun is hidden by the girlfriend to kind of protect him so he doesn't go to jail. That's how Ghost knows that, okay, Tasha's my ride or die. She's the one. And, you know, they wind up, you know, having a family, the whole thing. But I appreciate that 50 injects some of the realness of his life, because it helps us.
Right. What's the interaction like with Fifth? Does he... How active is he on set? Does he give a lot of direction? Does he give encouragement? Do you guys give him encouragement? Because you're a veteran actor and you know,
veteran. 50. Well, thank you. I mean, I appreciate that. I've been
actress,
around for a minute.
Not fame. Listen, you did Broadway.
Thank you. I still look at myself as like, oh, I'm just, you know, up and coming. But I appreciate that. But you know what? His energy is actually so fun and encouraging and supportive. I will honestly say, you know, he doesn't give direction as much, because he's more like, you know, he's not trying to step on anybody's toes. He knows when we're in a scene, there's a scene between Tasha and Kane in this season, episode 5, where he comes to the elevator and Tasha has the gun in her back and she's not sure if he's going to try anything. And when she turns around, she, like, you know, gets the Glock out and is like, if in fact he was going to do anything. But 50 and I, during that scene, we were just kind of talking and laughing. He was so cool because he makes me feel comfortable. It's not like you're working with 50 Cent. It's like, oh, two actors, we doing our scene, we're having a good time. He's very respectful. It's cool.
I think that's one of the most important things, because, you know, I take acting classes and I act as well, and I think
I heard that on one of your interviews that you're working in a workshop. I'm actually doing a workshop.
Are you? Where?
Yeah, with the casting director. No, in New Jersey, because I'm from Jersey. Oh. So if you want to come over to Newark, New Jersey, I'm doing an acting. It's called Power of the Actor, August 29th, for all of those aspiring actors. But I heard that on one of the podcasts that you guys did, and I think it's really dope that you take classes. But I'm teaching. I'm going to be working with all ages of, you know, mostly adults, teens to adults, talking about how you have to really take your power as an actor, know the experiences, the character development. We're actually going to do scenes from Power, and I'm working with the casting director from Notorious, who cast me in Notorious, is the one who's spearheading it, Wendy McKenzie.
That is awesome.
So it's dope, because she cast me alongside Twinkie Bird in a movie, my first movie, Notorious. I played Little Kim. Yeah. So they really gave me my first job, and this acting workshop is to kind of encourage other actors to just, like, you know, get outside of your comfort zone. So come join us.
I think that's all about, I mean, listen, Jersey's just the right away. So
yeah,
August 29th.
I'm from Jersey, August 29th, Saturday.
I'm there already.
10 to
so.
2.
And
are you?
And I get to do scenes from Power. What?
Yeah, we're going to do a Tasha Ghost, you know, in episode 3. It's a crazy argument scene of season 1. So it'll be fun.
That's awesome. And I think it's nice
Kristen
that you
speaks Spanish too, so.
Right.
She can do your Angela things.
Yes. We got to have Mira.
Listen, yes. Mira.
Yes,
exactly.
That's all I know, guys. I'm sorry.
It stops there.
But that's dope.
I like that. And I like that you say 50 is not, you know, he doesn't give you too much direction. Because I think one of the most important things is, with acting, I feel like people try too hard to act. And once you're doing that, it's not genuine, it's not believable, and the audience is not buying into it. Mm-hmm. So I think feeling comfortable and open and willing to just react to an experience is the most important thing. So for him to make you feel like comfortable enough to do that and not give you that intimidation is one of the most important things. And everybody, you know, 50 has this bad boy image, and that he's so hard and all that.
But he's like smiling, laughing, joking around on set. It's not like, he actually always greets me with a smile. 50 has one of the biggest smiles. Like when he comes on set, regardless of whatever, I don't know, you know, people might have different experiences, but I've had nothing but positive, great energy. So it's cool.
That's awesome.
That's what's up. Now, being an actress and being on the screen, I mean, I'm sure people go out and they don't see Notori. Yeah. They see Tasha sometimes.
Yes,
and,
yes.
You know, you might be doing the supermarket or going for a run. And
they literally come up to me like, hey, Tasha. And sometimes I kind of forget. I'm like, oh, and then they're like, Tasha, you hear me calling you? And I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right. I am Tasha now. But yes, go on.
But, you know, so balancing your character with your real life, because in your real life, you sing beautifully.
Thank you.
And music has always been a part of you. Is it hard, or is there a balancing act between the on camera and the acting and the music in your real life?
It's not as hard as it may look. I mean, balancing for me has been my whole life, because I started off in the music business. I was in a group, 3LW. Then I went to Broadway and did Hairspray. And then I went to doing movies, you know, playing Little Kim and all that. So I think for me, I just try to make sure that I keep them separate. You know, for Naturi, I know who Naturi is. I'm not as wild and crazy and as cutthroat as Tasha is. Tasha's a gangster. Naturi's from East Orange, New Jersey. She has a gangster side.
You're from
Don't
East Orange,
get it twisted.
You
I was like about to say, I'm from Jersey. EO, where you at? Ill Temp. But, you know, it's not as, you know, crazy as Tasha's character. But the music is something that's been a part of me since I was a little girl. I started singing in church. I started, you know, singing. I used to sing the national anthem for the New Jersey Nets when they were the New Jersey Nets. And I recently just sang for the Brooklyn Nets versus the Cleveland Cavs. And it was nice because I started off being a young artist. And so I try to keep the music separate. You know, I'm an actress, but I'm a musician and a singer. But I think it's cool because Power is a world where the music is so hip and it's a part of it. So hopefully I'll get to, you know, play some of my stuff on the show on Power.
Oh yeah, no doubt. First of all, the Brooklyn Nets Cleveland Cavaliers game that you sung at, was that the same one with Jay-Z when he met the Prince and
it was the game this past year. It was a really big game. And the Brooklyn Nets won, which was huge. It was I think it was like a playoff game. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Jay-Z was there though, but who was there?
It was not the Queen, but the Prince.
It was the both of them.
Okay,
I think it was I don't know. I forget.
I'm a Knicks fan. Okay. Moving on.
Yes.
Another one of your Power co-stars who has also been on the show, Rotimi. Yeah.
Oh, dope.
Also sings.
Yes. I know. We're from Jersey.
You guys are from Jersey.
I know. It's
a lot of talent from Jersey on the podcast.
Yes. Yeah. Jersey represent. People be sleeping on Jersey.
Do you guys ever have musical conversations, you and Rotimi?
All the time. Actually, back in the day, you can look it up. I actually was Rotimi's. I played like his love interest in his video. He had a song when Rotimi was first like doing his music, and I was, you know, we were friends. We, you know, from the same neighborhood, and I always supported him. He always supported me. So we definitely want to do some music, and we talk about that even now that we're in Power together, which is so coincidental. It would be great to sing together or do a record together. Mm. It would be really awesome.
Did you guys speak about it before getting on the show, or was it kind of like you guys got the roles and then you showed up on set?
I was already on Power.
Yeah, she was
so,
already.
So, I mean, Rotimi just joined, but I actually was talking about music before he got on Power. We always, you know, shared stuff. We actually have friends in common, producers in common, and my friend is actually here today, who's a producer, who's worked with Rotimi. He works with me. Logic is in the building.
Shout out to Logic.
Shout out to Logic.
Amazing producer, and, you know, and is killing the game, because to me, all these, you know, producers out here, he's a real musician. He plays the piano, plays the guitar, and that helps my music grow. So it's awesome. My friend is in the building. But yeah, me and Rotimi, definitely, let's do it, Ro. Let's make a joint.
This is how I know Logic is an ill producer.
Yeah.
He didn't see the season 2 finale of Power because he was probably in the studio.
He has been in the studio.
Making music nonstop. That's dedication, because everything stops for me when Power comes on. So Logic must be.
Oh my gosh. He's a zoner. He goes in. And I can't wait for you guys to hear just like what I'm working on. And I'm working alongside with Logic. I'm working with Ryan Toby, who actually was in City High.
Yeah.
Really dope writer. Really dope, you know, artist as well. But he's written so many hit songs. So Ryan, Logic, and I, we're like a team. And we come in the studio and we go to like 4 o'clock in the morning just making songs. And I really appreciate having a team, because it helps us guide the direction of the Naturi project.
Well, can we hear something?
Stay up till 4 a.m. making these records.
Yeah, no, I mean, with nothing, this is just a little something. Let me see. Okay, so, well, there is a song I said I would play. I haven't really played. You guys are actually the first people to hear this. But I'm really excited to share it. This song is called Sex Won't Make Them Stay. And, you know, it's one of the records that I wrote with Ryan. I know. Everyone is always like, wait, what does that mean?
Yes, it will.
No. See, that's the conversation we need to. I need to come back and we talk about the record, because all the
girls talk about it.
I'm talking about how, you know, some of these young chicks out here, they think sex is the way to keep a man. It'll make him come, but it won't make him stay. So enjoy it. I hope you guys like it. You know, I wrote this with Ryan. Logic produced it. I hope you guys enjoy. Here we go.
Hey, girl. Sex will make him come. Sex will make them stay all day, all day. Hey girl, your man be tripping. You say you distant, it's cause you slipping. You say you don't treat you right. I don't know why you act surprised. Surprised, why so surprised? You be thinking it's alright. You been acting good to him all night. And when you get up, he gone right. You stressed out, you all tight. Now you calling me crying and bawling. Thought you said that he was ballin', but you said he was king in New Orleans. Shouldn't have bought him that chain and them Jordans. It's where you went wrong. It's where you went wrong. Girl, I'm just trying to keep it real. You my peoples, I'm just putting you on. Cause sex will make him. Sex will make him come. 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 But sex don't make them stay. Sex don't make them stay. Sex don't make them stay. Sex won't make them, make them. Trust me, I get it. Baby girl, I get it. Running them streets, looking for love. All of the above, I did it. I thought that if I put it on him, he would want me. All my honey nights led to lonely mornings. But what you don't know, what you don't know, girl, you are valuable. You so valuable, girl. This ain't no lecture. Just make him respect you. You special, girl, no matter what he tell ya. Don't get it wrong. Don't get it wrong. Girl, I'm just trying to keep it real. You my peoples, I'm just putting you on. Cause sex will make him. Sex will make him. Sex will make him.
Man.
Okay. I don't know. Ooh. I don't know though. Sex. Jordans and a gold chain.
I know.
I might be yours.
Everything he's gonna walk away with.
Yeah.
Don't walk out of them Jordans.
You're such a guy. You're such a dude. No.
While Rob has on the fresh 11s.
You buy this guy all of this, and you thinking like, oh, you know, he about to marry me. He gonna wife me up. And then what happens when he's on to the next one? Because he got what he wants so quick. So I'm trying to say, especially a lot of young girls look up to me, and they and I wanted to do a song that's dope and cool, but also relevant and also kind of giving them something to think about while dancing. You know, it's like sex will make them come, but sex will make them stay. Right. You know, and that's something that we need to kind of address. Sex is not everything. I mean, I know y'all think it is.
You know what I like? I like that you blended, because me and Rob talk all the time and we say that R&B has become a little bit like, there's a lot of strip club music out and it's very aggressive and sexual, which whatever, you know, R&B has always been. Mm-hmm. But I like how you blended the sexual part of it and the vulgar language, but there's still like a moral value kind of lesson going on.
Thank you so much. That's such a compliment because that's exactly what mattered to me when I was doing, when I was doing this song, making sure that there's definitely a sexiness to it, but there is some more moral message in a way, but we don't want to be preaching to people, you know, young and old. You want to be able to say, okay, I could feel that. I know, you know, I'm one of you, and that's what I try to do with my music, connect with people.
That's dope. Yeah, and I feel like, yeah, you're right, we don't get that as much today. I feel like that was always something that, like, I feel like we look to Mary J. Blige.
That's kind of who I, you know. I love Mary J. And I definitely, like, I see, you know, so much of, even in my Tasha character, but musically experimenting with, you know, just that vibe of, like, keeping it real with the ladies. I want to make an album that speaks really to women and from everywhere, all backgrounds. But I think we need that, you know, women voice, like, no more
that
drama, but also, you know, making people dance at the same time. Yeah. So
I kind of feel like, too, when I watch Tasha, especially in this episode and the heartbreak that she's going through, I feel like if Tasha had a theme song, it would be Mary J. Blige, "Not Gonna Cry." You know that.
Gonna cry.
Yeah.
Not gonna
or
shed
no more
no
drama.
Tears.
Also,
yeah.
I mean,
no more. I mean, every single one of these records. When I think, actually, when I read the first script of Power, it said Tasha St. Patrick enters. She has a Mary J. Blige vibe. Her outfit, the way she was fashioned, from her style, her rawness, her street savviness, was definitely Mary J. inspired. And Courtney Kempagbo, the writer, talks about how she wanted to bring just a little bit of street with a little bit of fashion, with a little bit of, you know, everything. And Mary has all that. So big ups to Mary J. Love you, girl.
And that was dope. I didn't know any of that. And that's something that I picked up on. It's dope that the viewer could pick up on that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That means that's and dope. That's not even on the page. It's just right. In the,
that's
you
what
know.
You call delivery.
Courtney's
ill.
That's
dope.
Super
She's so dope.
So we're here now. Originally, we first heard you 3LW.
Yes.
Platinum plaques. Like, y'all started out, like, on top.
We did.
And I feel like it fizzled out and it went out of control kind of quickly.
Mm-hmm. Most girl groups do.
Why?
Yeah.
Why? Because women are dramatic and catty and, unfortunately, a lot of times jealous. You know, I'm not saying men don't have these problems, but we see them very frequently amongst women, which is something I try to even talk about in my music. Why can't we as women be able to ride for each other? Like, you know what, girl, you look good today. Go out and get yours, or I'm happy for you. And unfortunately, within a girl group, and that situation was also different because the manager was the mother of one of the groups and the production company was a sister. They were all related. It was a lot of conflict of interest in that group, and it just was not meant for me. I was not happy. I was not growing as an artist. I wasn't being treated with respect, and I just feel like, you know, God took me out of that group so I could be better, and I'm here.
Going into it, did you think it was going to be 3LW forever, or did you know that it was kind of just a thing that will take you to the next thing?
I didn't think of it that way, as a thing that would take me to the next thing. I was 15. Keep in mind, I was 15 years old, and I had a record deal with Sony Epic, we had sang for Dave McPherson and all these people, Epic, and I was just like, oh my gosh, we got a deal. We just sang live. And I never forget how good it felt to be able to do that as a group. Because one thing that is positive about, you know, building something up with other people is that you feel like we made it together. It's because of you, you, and you that we're here. So I actually thought we would be together at least like maybe a few albums. I imagine that, you know, Destiny's Child level, like I wanted to be just like TLC or just like Destiny's Child, which were groups that were inspiring to all of us, really. So, I mean, I then grew up because it was 15 when we started. It was 18 when the group, I was 18 when the group broke up. In the middle, I started to really realize, okay, maybe this is not the end goal for me. Maybe this isn't the you know, the potential that I can reach, but it's also a great experience, you know?
See, it's funny that you say that because, I mean, I don't know about everybody else, but I grew up on those songs and they were like the Bible to me. So when those songs came out, like The Play Is Gonna Play and all that, you know what I mean?
Oh,
like,
no more, no baby, more. I'ma do right.
Woo. Listen, I used to live by those songs, and I feel like a lot of girls, a lot of, you know, females, even, you know, they're females now, but I feel like a lot of girls kind of like took on an image from the songs and the you know, the stories that you guys put out in those songs. You guys had a very, like, you know, the whole bandana tied to the back in the video and stuff, and the tie-dye, you know,
we
flare
had
pants.
So much. I mean, you remember those UFO pants? And we used to sag. It was kind of like Aaliyah meets TLC with a little bit of Destiny's Child. We had fun. It was fun.
But would you do anything differently? Because I feel like as much as it ended bad and, you know, there, it only went for a little bit of time, it still gave a lot of people a very great moment in life, like me.
Yeah,
like,
so many people
would you do it differently
that.
Going back?
Thank you for acknowledging that, because it was a 3-year journey, but those 3 years were the developmental years of most of the teenage girls that were listening to 3LW. And so many women that are my age now are like, you don't understand. I had that CD and I was like, I was growing up to your music. So that's a compliment in itself. But I would say, no, I don't think I would do anything differently, because I believe everything happened the way it was supposed to happen. I mean, we all made mistakes within that situation. We all, you know, had our issues or egos and, you know, drama and fights over dumb stuff. And I mean, it was crazy. I mean, we really should have been able to enjoy our platinum album and our success. But people get into your head and tell you, oh, she's, you know, she's prettier. She's the one that should sing. I think that I wouldn't do anything differently, because I gave my all. I worked hard. We had a platinum record. We had another album coming out. I just think, you know, it was supposed to go down the way it went. And I'm grateful that it happened, because like you said, so many people remember 3LW and have good memories. And I do too. Like, we got to sing with Michael Jackson at the, you know, 9/11 concert. He did a big free concert in D.C. for 9/11. I will never forget being on stage with 3LW singing alongside, you know, Michael. Mary J. was in the song. It was a big world record that he wanted to do to raise money, and 3LW got to be a part of that. So much was gained. Even though I lost out in the end, so much experience and so many relationships and so many friends were made. So it's all good.
That's dope, man. Have you seen the 3LW, Adrian, and
I've only seen Adrian, never seen Keely. I like have never run into her, which is always shocking, because it's like we were in a group, we lived together, we like spent every moment, and I literally,
since you broke up, you haven't seen her?
Never. And I don't talk to, like, it was kind of, you know, it was not a good breakup, people.
Did they really throw but chicken at you?
That really happened.
No, wasn't KFC? It spaghetti or something?
No, it was not spaghetti. It was KFC. There was like a whole
wasted some good
story.
Chicken. Where were you just
as long as they didn't throw the biscuit.
Oh my gosh, y'all are crazy. No, but that, I mean, it happened. There was a real fight. It was real drama, but with, you know, it's so like old, but people remember this. And all I can say is I've seen Adrian. I haven't seen Keely. I see people, you know, I've seen people connected to the group, and it's just more like, why would I be bitter or mad? Or because, I mean, I've grown so far beyond that.
She got home hashtag now too. Teen Tasha every Saturday.
That's right.
And I was Teen gonna Tasha say that, because you said you lost out, and I honestly don't think so, because that could go real
it
sour
felt like
for
that
someone
at the time.
Right. But look at you now. I mean,
thank
hey,
you
listen
look at me now.
Look at me now. Look at me now.
I got this thing that we do every episode that Chris actually does, because we have fans that call in, or not call in, but email us in for relationship advice.
Ooh.
And I feel like, not that I'm sure your relationships and your love life is fine. But just, you know, acting I'm doing, being a representation of I'm power doing. And Tasha.
Okay, I could go know, there. Mm-hmm. I think my personal life is drastically different. I'm very happy right now, but Tasha is having a time.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Every week, you know, a couple people write us, and I always like to try to, you know, choose one or two and kind of get your opinion on it. You know, everybody's okay. going through the motions, and, you know, either they're going through something, some, you know, their friends are going through something, mm-hmm. and maybe they want to get some advice and, you know, tell them to hear it out. But, well, I got a good one that fun. I wanted to go through with you, just considering. I know it's your about, role in power, but.
No, it's just cool. I love talking about relationships. I love talking about love. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of like a hopeless romantic, but I'm also like really passionate about this stuff. So bring it on. Mm-hmm. Lay it on me.
All right. And for anybody listening, if you want to send in any questions, our email is redlightspecialpc@gmail.com. And all right, I got somebody that wrote, and it's a female. And mm-hmm. she said, "What's up, Rob and Chris? First, I want to thank the both of you for this podcast. It was long overdue, and I'd like to get your opinions on a situation that I've got going on. Mm. I've been with my boyfriend for a few months, but we've known each other for about 2 years altogether. Mm. He's really jealous and overprotective, and it's starting to really affect me. Mm. When we're good, we're really good, but when he finds something to bitch about, we're a mess. I have a bad temper, but sometimes I think he might even raise his hand at me. Mm. Last week we went to a friend's baby shower and we argued on the way there. He told me that I better not mention it to my friends or quote unquote, I'll see. I have no idea what to do. I'm happy and I'm not, but I don't feel like talking will change him."
Ooh, ooh, girl.
Damn.
What's her name?
No,
we don't have a name.
They like to keep it anonymous.
Oh, anonymous. Too, smart girl, because, yeah, mm-hmm. you don't want to put yourself at risk.
Oh, you was talking about me on Twitter?
Exactly. Like, I heard,
yeah, right?
heard you on that Red Light Special. You was trying to say some stuff.
Told you not to say nothing.
Okay, so, hey, girl, this is Naturi, a.k.a. Tasha. Let me tell you something. Okay, so it's been a few months. You can move on a lot easier now than if you're a year in. Let me tell you, if you feel something's not right now, in 3 months or whatever amount of months, 5, 6, you're still like in your baby relationship. You're still in the beginning. And if you don't think that this man is going to be able to respect you, love you, and allow you to be you, because jealousy is just another way of controlling somebody. Envy, jealousy, and yelling at you is control. And he might have, you know, issues with that. I don't know. I mean, he could be a great guy, and maybe he just needs to mature in certain areas. But I would just, you know, say be careful. I would also say to make sure you surround yourself with good people, good girlfriends, you know. Make sure you really get to know this guy, because you don't want to be in a position where you wind up regretting committing to him. So be careful.
Right. I think that's important, too, that you say to keep good girlfriends around, because yeah. if you have nobody to talk to and exactly. anybody to give you some advice.
Or they'll
advice,
give you bad. You need girlfriends that mm-hmm. can really, you know, give you good advice.
Right. I mean, for me, I love that she hit us up and love that she's showing us. Mm-hmm. I'm upset that you even took the time to write this email, because the time that took you to write this email, you could have spent packing your shit and out of there. Like, you know,
so
if you feel,
right.
I'm dead serious though. Yeah. Like, you look at my
it's
face.
It's hard for some people.
It's definitely hard, but Naturi is right. It's been only 2 months, and if
like,
you
this
feel like
this is time to bounce. If it's 2 years now, that's gonna be a lot harder.
If you feel like he's gonna raise a hand to you, or it's that threatening nature, like mm-hmm. there's never no excuse for that, and you know.
Unacceptable.
It starts with the yelling, and you better not tell nobody. Like, you a kid.
I'm like, am I your child?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Do I look like your daughter?
If he feel comfortable doing that, what's he going to feel comfortable doing
it in
2 months from now, 6 months,
very
a
good.
Year from now?
Very good. True.
So, and just bounce, man. It's, you be all
it's
right.
It's easier. Yeah. You'll get girl, you sound like you're a cute girl. You be good. You get you another. It's a lot of good brothers out here. You be fine.
Mm-hmm. Listen, I always tell people, we were all born alone. Why? I never understood why people try to control another person. Like, when you get into a relationship, you don't now own that person.
Mm.
You know what I mean? You didn't help raise that person. You don't know that person. You there's something like, that you might learn from them 10 years from now that you never even knew about.
Sure.
And it's about
true.
Sharing.
Some people are married and there's, you know, you're still learning. I mean, my parents have been married for 43 years and I think that's amazing.
God bless.
But
God
yeah,
bless,
they're yeah. awesome. They're like such an inspiration. My grandparents were married for 65 years. But I think they're still learning and growing. Like every year when they celebrate their anniversary, I'm just amazed to watch, you know, people grow together and, right. you know, they're getting older, but they still love each other. That's beautiful.
Yeah, and someone should better you. I don't feel like, listen, if he, and especially that you say you're scared that he might raise his hand at you. I mean,
ooh.
Why be with somebody who's making you live in fear?
Exactly.
Yeah. If somebody's making you like feel like you're living in fear and you can't even... You know, if we're in the room right now and I can't go up to my girlfriend and be like, listen, you know, we got into an argument on the way here, so and so. If I can't even talk to my girlfriend because I feel like if he sees me talking to that person, he's going to, God knows, do what, then that's not the man for you.
Plus, you
got
to be like, we got strong also role models. Mm-hmm. On TV, on Power, we got Tasha. Tasha yeah. cocked the Glock one time. You
say,
think Tasha gonna get
go
hit
empty
by
that
gold?
Bank account?
Like, Tasha don't play, and she's just as strong as the. You better be scared of her, really.
And Ghost
she
wouldn't
be
even
changing
try.
The safe number.
She's changing the safe. She's changing. She got the Glock. She stay ready, and that's what mm-hmm. I love about the character. Right.
That's one of the dope things about the character too. I think just you know, and now I think we're getting to it with Scandal and, mm-hmm. and just seeing like strong. Leading black
women.
Female roles that you don't
women
see
of
that
color.
Aren't submissive, that aren't like I handle
we're not
my business
dumb.
Too.
Yeah. Yeah, we're smart.
And it's not too much either. It's not like you just always strong hand because you have your moments where
she's
you
vulnerable.
Almost break down yeah. and you want him to, you know, come back to you. And it's like some women might look at the character and be like, why the hell is she, you know, she
but
should pick up
real.
Her stuff and leave. But listen, you have kids with him,
thank
first
you.
Of all. You
I'm
have
married.
A family.
Thank you.
Listen. And let's be real. I mean, if you guys do happen to divorce, they show it on the episode, you walk away with nothing.
Yeah.
And now you have two kids to care for.
Every man wants a Tasha, see, really.
Aww. Everybody needs that kind of woman.
I will say, though, I was hating
we
on...
We got a song about that. Every man needs that kind of woman, like a
absolutely.
Tasha.
Absolutely.
It's but go ahead. But I was hating on Tasha in season one. There was one pivotal episode as a man.
Yes.
It was one scene where you know, because Ghost is trying to go legit and get
yeah,
these clubs.
Yeah, she was kind of stopping him. Mm.
Yo, baby, well, what you thought I was gonna be, and she was like
the biggest
best
goddamn drug dealer in New York City.
Ooh.
My heart broke.
I know.
When she said
everybody
that.
Was I mad at me. Gosh, they were like, so mad.
Yeah.
Hey, I mean, oh you God. Know, the way season one, you actually can see her growth
mm-hmm.
from season to season, and we're actually about to start shooting season three in Ooh. A couple weeks, guys. So season three is gonna be crazy.
Listen.
But every year she grows, and every season. So, you know, you may not like her all the way. You may not like everything she does, but bear with us.
Did Kanan break out of that thing, man? At the end, it was like it looks like somebody
I know.
Broke out.
Kanan lives. Everyone, yeah, people were going crazy. Like, oh shoot, 50. But yeah,
you already seen the 50 Cent Before I Self Destruct. Album cover with half his face is burnt. Mm-hmm. He looks like the Terminator.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe he goes right back to that.
Yeah, that would be crazy. Know. He got to come back with some severe burns, though, right. for sure.
So Kanan lives.
Yes, we'll Kanan lives.
Crazy, crazy.
That's... Listen.
What?
Yo, man, shout
out
to
Power. Show is crazy. I can't wait
okay,
for season three.
New music.
Yes.
When can we expect it? Where can we get it? I want some more of this music.
Oh, thank you. Well, I'm still in the studio grinding, working, focused, taking some meetings, you know, seeing what the right label situation to be because I'm an independent artist right now. Yeah. I'm excited. I feel like season three, definitely by season, because season three is coming out for Power 2016, summer 2016. So you might be hearing some Naturi music right before Power Season 3 and leading into it, which hopefully you'll get a snippet of it even in the show, which I was talking to Courtney about, my showrunner, and just, you know, she's really supportive of me yeah. as a you know, musically as well. So I think, you know, I know everybody's like, I'm waiting, but it's about to be Christmas, about to be the holidays, top of 2016. Just stay ready, be ready, because the Naturi Naughton project is about to really, really, I think, shock a lot of people, because I've been singing since I was a kid, but I don't think people have heard me sing, heard me rhyme. Like, I rap and want to say, I'm telling you, y'all have not really heard the versatility of what I can do, and I'm just excited for top of 2016. So you'll be getting it. It'll be available on iTunes. You'll be hearing about it. And then I can come back and
you're
you
welcome.
Know, talk about
you're
it.
You're welcome anytime. Like,
we'll have you back.
Will you guys have me back?
Oh,
and I can really.
Absolutely.
Then we can play some. We should have like a Naturi listening party power.
It.
Like
can we do
something.
That?
Like that's,
something
let's,
dope. Definitely.
Something cool. Like right before, you know, Power Season or, you know, while I'm shooting, if, you know, something I want to put out there. Just
I'm with it. Whatever support you need,
thank
you got
you.
It from us. We are big fans.
I really and I think it would be an awesome rollout too. I mean, we got to wait a whole year.
I know it feels like that, but you know what? People were mad about season two, how long they had to wait. But even musically, it takes time to make a masterpiece.
No, it absolutely
time.
Does.
Like, we're creating something special. And I've always been a kind of artist that didn't want to rush and just throw something random and not thought out. It's about strategy. It's about doing quality, not just putting stuff out.
Mm-hmm.
I believe in, you know, R&B, classic, you know, with a little bit of hip-hop edge. So I'm going to be really singing, but also doing some fun, you know, bounce records that make you dance. So I think we really have to be smart about it, and I just want to make sure it's right. So.
And Power has a great soundtrack too. Rob's a big fan of the Big Rich Town song.
Oh, I love that song.
Yeah, I'm mad that
every
Big
time
Rich
that comes on, I'll be like, Big Rich Town. And Joe sings on that. The artist Joe and 50 kills it. I love that song.
Yeah, it's definitely dope. I mean, the opening theme songs kind of tend to be kind of corny to me sometimes on shows.
Mm-hmm.
But this one just sticks. Like, as soon as that you know, 9 o'clock hits, and I'm like, I'm singing
and
the words along.
Yeah. I know. Oh, you said I'm singing the words.
I'm an undercover liar. Yeah. I lie undercover. That's my favorite lyric.
Yes. Oh, that's what's
dope.
Up.
But Notori, if the fans want to reach you, where can they reach you at?
Reach me on Twitter for all those on Twitter. It's at Noturi Naughton, which is at NaturiNaughton. And hit me up on Instagram because you can follow what I'm doing at Noturi4Real, Naturi, the number 4 and R-E-A-L. And on Facebook as well, hit me on Facebook, Noturi Naughton. Just continue to follow me. I appreciate everyone's patience and support. For all the fans who've been really journeying since 3LW, because a lot of people come up to me and like, girl, I've been following you since 3LW. It means a lot to me because that's 15 years in the game. You know, I was 15, you know, at that time. And it just means a lot because musically, as an actress, in every way, people have supported me. So I couldn't be here without y'all, without the fans, without DJs, people who want to interview me. So it's just a humbling thing because I would not be here if it wasn't for the support.
Great. No doubt. Chris, where can they reach you at?
At Chris Lover, KrisLovaA, Instagram, Twitter, KristenQuarrel.com. You, Rob?
That's what's up. I'm at Rob Markman on Twitter and Instagram, RobMarkMan on Twitter and Instagram. And, you know, you can catch me now on Genius.com. Mm. I'm over there now. Join the Genius team. Mm. So look out for that. And, man, till next week, man. And real quick, too, just shout out Jake and Pop for our theme song, Starless, yep. Man. They're going to be in town soon. So Jake and Pop, what up, man? Till next week, man. This is the Red Light Special.
Thank you, guys. That's the motherfucking truth.